This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello, Joysters, and welcome to another edition of Joy's very own show about pets, Pets Aloud. I'm Kristen, and I will be keeping you company until one today. But first, a big thank you to Leo for a fab morning of tunes, and also to Jake for keeping us up to date with the news. Joining me in the studio today is the lovely Kate Holter, General Manager of Communications and Fundraising at the Lost Dogs Home. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kristen. Always fun. Now, today we're going to be talking about some of the threats over summer for dogs or our pets. So along with fun and sun, summer also brings about lots of loud noises, courtesy of fireworks and thunderstorms. And while many of us love seeing the sky light up in Technicolor, courtesy of Mother Nature or pyrotechnics, they can cause a great deal of stress and anxiety for our pets. And for shelters and pounds around the country, December through to January is one of the busiest times of year, with a large number of dogs and cats coming through our doors trying to escape from the escaping fear from noises created from fireworks and thunderstorms.
Now, New Year's Day in particular is a very busy day for our shelters, with pet owners picking up lost dogs and cats that have run away because of fireworks. However, if you know that fireworks and thunderstorms do cause distress to your pets, there are things you can do right now to help them manage the distress when the time comes around that fireworks and thunderstorms are happening in your area.
So today on Pets Aloud, we are having one of our first of two summer specials. We're going to take a look at some of the things pet owners can do to help their pets stay calm during storms and fireworks this summer. So we're going to pose the question, is your pet scared of thunderstorms and fireworks? It's actually a tongue twister, thunderstorms. And what do you do to keep them calm?
Pets Aloud. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Now, don't forget, you can also SMS us on air 0427 joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. And also coming up on today's show, does your pet get scared during thunderstorms or fireworks? Dr. Trofina Hunter from the Lost Dogs Home will give us some tips on what pet owners can do to help their pets stay calm when thunderstorms and fireworks occur.
For shelters and pounds around the country, the day after fireworks or thunderstorms can mean a very, very busy day in the shelter, and we'll find out why.
And losing a pet after a thunderstorm or fireworks can be a very stressful experience for the whole family. So we're going to give you some tips on what to do when looking for a lost pet. There's a lot to cover in this week's show, so to get us started, let's hear from Mika with Talk About You.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Now, Kate, would you like to tell us a bit about this week's first news item?
We are at Victoria Gardens Telstra Shop right now in Richmond. Now, making the decision to adopt a new pet in your family is a big one, which requires a lot of careful planning and research. So if you're considering adopting a pet today, the team from the Lost Dogs Home, along with some of our adopted and adored ambassadors, are at Victoria Gardens in the Telstra Shop there, and they're ready to meet you. They'll be on hand to answer all your questions about the adoption process, and they'll be able to provide you with information on volunteering and foster care programs as well. So, as I said, if you're looking to adopt a pet and you want to find out more, or you want to meet some dogs that have been adopted from the Lost Dogs, so there's nothing like meeting a shelter dog in real life to know how fantastic they are, then come on down to Victoria Gardens Telstra Shop, which is in Richmond near IKEA, and say hello to the team from the home. They'll be there till 1:30 this afternoon.
And our second news item of the week is why it is important to identify your pet. So it's National Pet ID Month, and throughout December, National Pet Register is calling on you to check or update your pet's identification. But why is it so important to identify your pet? Each year, pet owners move house, change phone numbers and things like that. And while many will remember to update their contact details, too many will forget to update their pet's microchip and ID. So every year, shelters around the country are inundated with dogs and cats with incorrect details that aren't up to date, which makes it really hard and sometimes impossible for shelter staff to reunite pets with their owners. So remembering to update your contact details after moving house or changing your phone numbers is really simple and effective in making sure your pet has a return ticket home if they ever do go missing. And there are two main methods of pet identification, so microchipping and also an identification tag on your pet's collar. And National Pet Register recommends pet owners have both a microchip and council registration tag and also a personalised ID tag to identify their pets as well.
So a bit more on identification tags. I always think this is the first port of call for someone has when they find a lost pet. I mean, microchips are required by law in Victoria. You must microchip your pet, and most animals come microchip these days, certainly when you adopt them. But a collar and an identification tag on a collar is really the simplest and also the cheapest way to get your pet home to you, because you can just simply go down to your local hardware store, get your tag engraved with your name and your number. And most people carry a mobile phone, so they will ring and get that pet back to you as soon as possible. So some people do believe that they do not need to have the tag on there if they are microchipped, but that's not the case. If your pet is wearing a collar, it just does just make it that bit easier. And the other thing is, if they don't have to go into a pound, then you're not having to pay any pound release fees. So it actually is a cheaper way too. And everyone wants that peace of mind to get their pet back as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And so it is also important to make sure your pet is microchipped. So a microchip is the best method of permanent animal identification that's available today. So approximately the size of a grain of rice, a microchip is implanted just under your pet's skin in the soft scruff area of the neck, and each chip has a unique number which is detected using a microchip scanner. So the microchip number is recorded on a database such as National Pet Register, with details about the animal and the owner as well. So should your pet become lost, vets, animal shelters and local councils can scan your pet for a microchip and contact you via that database, which is really important.
Yeah. And what we're doing to help people remember to keep their details up to date and to learn more about microchipping or identification in general, we're holding, it's National Pet ID Month, and we're holding Chip Checker events throughout December on each Saturday and Sunday. December is National Pet ID Month, and we're calling on people to stop and think if their pet's details are up to date. This weekend we'll be down at Yarraville Gardens this Saturday the 12th of December from 9 to 12 a.m. So the Chip Checker team will tell you if your pet's microchip details are up to date. They'll also be tell you what database your pet's microchip is registered with, and whether your microchip is working. You can also use the Chip Checker event to find out more about how microchips work. I find that also, you know, I was at a Chip Checker event last weekend, and people just don't understand sometimes how microchips work and how the registration works on databases as well. And updating it with your local council doesn't mean it's automatically updated with your microchip register. So don't forget to bring along your pet so that we can scan them, or your pet's microchip number and or identification information, and we'll help you find out where your pet's microchip is registered and if your information's up to date.
And now it is time to draw the curtain on this week's Pet of the Week.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about this week's Pet of the Week?
So this week's Pet of the Week is the lovely Purring Precious. I love the name. She is 3 years old. She's a lovely cat. She's predominantly white with some tortoiseshell markings. She's up at our Campaspe shelter, which is in Echuca. Now, she's built a bit of a reputation up there. She's been there for a very long 197 days. So, and when the team up there can't understand why, because she's such a beautiful cat. She's loyal, but a little bit independent in her feline ways. But she's really, really affectionate and would make the perfect pet. So she would suit probably a quieter home, maybe without, you know, smaller children that are sort of going to be in her face. She likes her own space. She likes to have a nice quiet spot to relax during the day. But she's happy to share her home with other cats. She does seem to get on with other cats in the shelter. She's the sort of cat that would build a bond over time and needs to be the one coming to you. So she's not the sort of cat where you're going to be able to pick up and put on your lap. She'll choose when she's ready to come and sit on your lap. So hopefully Precious might be the cat for you. You can visit her on our website, or you can see her profile on our website at dogshome.com. If you missed her ID number, which it is 993147, so you can quote that number if you want to contact our Compassby shelter in Echuca on 54803005, or you can visit the shelter in person if you want to make the drive up to Echuca at 520 Mackenzie Road, Echuca. It's Precious. She's 3 years old and she's just lovely.
Now, for many, fireworks can be a source of celebration and joy, but for our pets, they can be quite terrifying. Coming up, we talk about how fireworks and thunderstorms can affect your pet and what you can do to help them manage their stress. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9, and today is our fireworks and thunderstorms summer special. Now, it's a good time to mention we have received a couple of messages, one from John and one from Tamsin, who have told us about their dogs who are scared of loud noises associated with thunder and fireworks, and it's not uncommon at all. So the next couple of segments coming up will be right up your alley and will hopefully help answer some of the questions you have. But if not, do contact us at the Lost Dogs Home and our team will be happy to offer advice. So for many of us, seeing the sky light up in a rainbow of colour is one of the best things about New Year celebrations. But for our dogs and cats, fireworks can be a source of extreme fear and anxiety.
However, there are things that pet owners can do this New Year's to help their pets cope during the noisy fireworks displays and backyard fireworks as well. Early in the week, our producer Sam caught up with Dr. Trofina Hunter to find out more why fireworks and storms affect our pets.
I'm joined by Dr. Trofina Hunter, Animal Behaviour Manager at the Lost Dogs Home. Trofina, welcome to Pets Allowed.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Today throughout the show, we're talking about animals and thunderstorms and fireworks. Is it normal for our animals to get scared of thunderstorms and fireworks?
Fear is a normal response to a scary situation, but for a lot of dogs, what they show is more than fear. They show phobia, so they're showing an excessive response to something. So, you know, for a lot of dogs and cats, and probably a lot of other animals, they do find storms intense. You know, they're noisy, they smell different, they sound different. There's environmental change that they detect that we don't. And to be initially a little uncomfortable about that is normal, but what normally happens, or should happen, is that pets realise that this is actually not a bad thing. You know, they live through a storm and nothing terrible happened, and the next time it comes around, it doesn't seem quite so bad, and they get completely used to it. For some animals, what ends up happening is that they have quite an abnormal response to it, and with time, they find it more and more scary. So instead of realising that nothing bad happened during the storm, they start predicting that things are going to get worse and worse. And that's where you're looking at something that's more of a phobia, which is an abnormal response.
Those animals that are showing signs of that phobia, what types of things would indicate that to their owner?
There's a range of things. A lot of people are aware that when there are storms or fireworks that their dogs look scared. They might come to them for comfort. They might try to hide somewhere. For cats particularly will tend to hide. Dogs will often either try to hide or to try and get close to their owners. And for some dogs that are just feeling a little bit worried, that's the level they do. And if they're near someone or they're inside, they feel okay. For dogs that have got more of a phobia, they're going to be doing something that's a lot more extreme than that. So for some dogs, they will shake and shiver the whole time. They might be destructive, so they might be trying to get out of their back garden, or if they're in the house, they might be destroying the house. They sometimes will toilet inside when they wouldn't normally toilet inside. They might be panting, pacing around, vocalising, you know, whining, barking, showing signs that they're really, really distressed. And that will tend to start before people are aware that the storm is coming, because dogs are aware of the storm a lot earlier than we are.
Do you find that in some cases pets might be scared of fireworks but not necessarily storms?
No, absolutely. So some pets are storm phobic and some pets are noise phobic, and some are both. So for a storm phobic dog is finding the whole experience of a storm difficult, and that's a combination of what they're hearing, but also what they're sensing. So, you know, barometric pressure changes, the visual change that you get in the environment with storms, the sight of lightning, the sound of thunder. So it's a combination of sensory input that they find really difficult. For noise phobia, it tends to be just specifically the sound that they find difficult. There are definitely dogs that are really fearful of fireworks and that will show those escape or destructive or panic behaviours around fireworks that are absolutely fine through storms and vice versa.
You mentioned barometric pressure with thunderstorms. Do you find that pets that are a bit more afraid of fireworks is because it tends to be more sudden rather than storms, which can be a little bit more gradual?
I think that not necessarily the degree of fear, but the length of the panic response that they get, definitely. So dogs that are really scared of storms can predict that the storm's coming because of all the environmental change that happens. And so they'll be showing the start of quite significant levels of distress well before we see anything. And it may continue, that distress might continue for a long time after we feel like the storm is finished. So it's often quite a long time. They learn that those early changes aren't scary for them usually, but they predict the storm hitting. Mm-hmm. So dogs learn that when the sky looks like this, when the temperature feels like this, yep, when these things are happening, that means a storm's coming. So they start to get quite stressed well before the storm. With a firework, you know, fireworks event, there's no warning, so that it just suddenly happens. And so you don't get the lead-up panic, but once it starts, then, yes, you can get the same level of panic and distress.
So it's more sudden.
Yeah.
That was Dr. Trofina Hunter talking about the difference between fireworks and thunderstorm events and how these can affect our pets.
Coming up, we hear more from Dr. Trofina Hunter on how you can help your pet during fireworks and thunderstorms this summer.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Pets Allowed's Fireworks and Thunderstorms special on Joy 94.9. So before the break, we heard from Dr. Trofina Hunter, Animal Behaviour Manager at the Lost Dogs Home, about the effects fireworks and thunderstorms can have on cats and dogs.
In this next section, Sam is going to be asking Trofina what pet owners can do to help their pets through a thunderstorm or firework event.
What we do for our pets depends on the level of fear or anxiety or phobia that they're showing. So for a lot of animals, just being able to be inside is really helpful. So if you've got a dog or cat that can be inside, bringing them inside during a storm or before fireworks is a really good idea. It's, you know, dampens down some of your awareness of what's going on outside. You can have music playing or white noise playing, just again to try and dampen down the awareness of what's going on outside. For a lot of pets, if they're near people, they feel better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like being near your safety teddy bear. You've got your owner there and you feel a little bit safer, a little bit more secure. So, you know, being inside is a really, really good idea. Some of the other things that you can do depends on your particular animal and how stressed they get. There are things like thunder shirts, which are jackets that you can put on that put sort of pressure around the body that are designed to reduce anxiety in things like thunderstorms and fireworks. And they can work really well for some dogs. They don't work for every dog, but they can be really helpful for some. Making sure the dog's got a safe place to go to, having somewhere that the animal knows is a safe, comfortable place to be. So a mat or a crate or a room, somewhere that you've set up well before the storm as being a safe, definable place for the animal to go to. And you make that safe place by having it as a place where good things happen. You know, you go there, you get treats, you get toys, you've got a comfy bed, it's a nice place to go. It's never a punishment, it's never a timeout, it's never a bad place to be. This place is always good and always comforting. And then when a storm or fireworks event happen, it's really important the dogs and cats can get to those areas. So if you've got your safe place inside and the dog's outside, dog needs to be able to get inside to get to its safe place. Otherwise, you need to have a safe place outside as well so that they just can get into that area where they feel better.
Is it also a good idea if pet owners know, obviously with things like fireworks on New Year's, they're scheduled, is it probably a good idea then for pet owners to either be home themselves or have a trusted person home that their pet recognises on those events?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think for a lot of people who have a pet with a storm or firework fear, they will tend to organise their lives around that, which is a great thing to be able to do. So, yes, if you know that your animal is going to be scared of fireworks, it's a good night to be at home or to make sure someone else is at home. So you can have the dog inside with you and you can hopefully keep it safe and keep it feeling as relaxed as is possible.
Another option for pet owners is the possibility of medication for their pet to help cope with their phobia. When would be a good time for pet owners to talk about that with their vet?
Now is a really good time to do that. Don't do it on New Year's Eve because it's really not, doesn't give us enough time to help. Medication is often really helpful for dogs that have got phobias and severe fear of fireworks, and the same with storms. And the reason that medication is helpful is because these behaviours, when they're really extreme, this is a phobia. It's an abnormal response to this situation. And dogs don't learn that it's not scary. So each time they're exposed, as I was saying before, every time they're exposed to this thing, they don't realise that it was okay the first time. They continue to think it's scary, or they think it's scarier each time. So they're not actually learning, and they're not learning because the way their brain is working in that situation is not quite normal, and they're not able to realise that nothing bad happened through that event. So they're not going to get better on their own, and they are going to be experiencing a high level of stress and anxiety, and that may mean that they're going to damage themselves, or they're going to damage property, or they're going to escape, or they're just going to be experiencing this severe stress and anxiety, which is horrible for them. The thing about using medication is that we need to do a little bit of work to find the right medication. We don't know which medication is going to work, and we don't know which dose is going to work, and we need to do a little bit of work on that before the event. When we look at using medication, we don't use sedatives, we don't use personality changes, we just use anti-anxiety medication. The aim is simply to reduce anxiety so that the animal doesn't experience that really phobic response.
If it's a pet owner's first time, perhaps, you know, the pet's had an adverse reaction from a previous storm or a previous set of fireworks, the vet would also look into doing a behaviour assessment and that type of thing prior to going down that avenue as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's always appropriate to do a bit of an assessment and make sure that we understand what level of distress the animal is showing. Sometimes dogs that are firework phobic or noise phobic may well have other issues that go along with that. So making sure that we don't have anything else that we need to be addressing is a really good idea. Yep. And then your vet can make a diagnosis and then a treatment. And treatment of any behaviour problem involves looking at some management strategies, considering behaviour modification, and there is some behaviour modification work that you can do around storms and fireworks, and then having to think about whether medication is appropriate, and if it is, then using it appropriately.
Yeah. Are there a range of products that pet owners could look into if they were going down that the medication option, or is it just purely, you know, tablets and that type of thing to help them manage that anxiety?
Yeah, there are a range of different things that you can look at doing. And I think for any animal that's got a level of stress and anxiety, it's worth considering the whole range of options and using whatever suits that animal and whatever the owners are comfortable using. So looking at things like thunder shirts is helpful. Some of the pheromone products can be really effective. So different pheromone products for dogs and cats, and you know, your vet will be able to help you out with those things. And different forms. There are pheromones that come as plug into the wall diffusers, and for dogs there are collar forms. And that can take the edge off anxiety for probably 75% of dogs. It may not be enough if your dog has a really extreme panic with fireworks or with storms. Pheromone may not be enough to help, but it's definitely worth trying. And then if that's not enough and we need to do something more to keep the dog relaxed and safe and for the dog's welfare to be okay through that experience, then we talk about using anti-anxiety medications, and yes, most of the time those are going to be tablets.
Well, Dr. Trofina Hunter, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Trofina Hunter talking about what pet owners can do to help their pets through fireworks and thunderstorm events this summer. Really great advice. This month, Frank Samway's Veterinary Clinic has a special offer to pet owners considering pheromone treatment for their pet this New Year's Eve.
The deal includes a pet behaviour checkup, pheromone diffuser and bonus refill. For more info or to make an appointment, contact the Frank Samway's Vet Clinic on 9329 2755. Now, the days following a thunderstorm or firework event can be some of the busiest for shelters around the country. Up next, we're going to talk to Dr. David Cunliffe from the Lost Dogs Home to find out more.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, for shelters around the country, like the Lost Dogs Home, the day after a thunderstorm or firework event sees an increase in the number of cats and dogs coming into the home. Many of these animals will have run away from home after being spooked by fireworks or thunderstorms. Joining us now to talk about the impact fireworks and storms can have on animal shelters is Dr. David Cunliffe, General Manager, Animal Welfare and Customer Service at the Lost Dogs Home.
Hi, David. Welcome to Pets Allowed.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, thunderstorms and fireworks, and I think also especially backyard fireworks, are frequent events during summer. Shelters like the Lost Dogs Home will usually see more dogs and cats arrive the day after a thunderstorm or a firework display. Can you tell us what the environment is like at the Lost Dogs Home the day after a fireworks display, or I guess that's New Year's Day, or a big thunderstorm? Pretty busy?
Yes, Kate, yes. You hit the nail on the head there. Very busy. As you've correctly observed, you know, many dogs especially have noise phobias, which will only come to light when there is an event like a thunderstorm or an impromptu fireworks display. So these dogs will try and get away from the noise that's frightening them, and, you know, there's no escaping from a thunderstorm or fireworks, is there? So they can often run for quite a way in a panic, I guess, until they're picked up by a concerned member of the public and brought to a shelter or the council. So after a big celebration like New Year's Eve, where there are fireworks everywhere, it can be extremely busy at the Lost Dogs Home with the arrival of many dogs and many people looking for their dogs at that time.
And so, David, New Year's Day, as you mentioned, is a particularly busy day for the home with lots of dogs and cats coming into our care. Why do so many dogs and cats arrive at the home on New Year's Day?
Yeah, well, as I suggested, I guess the noise phobia is quite common in the dog population. It seems to become more prevalent in dogs as they age. So older dogs left at home alone when their people are out partying are perhaps especially susceptible to wanting to, you know, well, I guess to being anxious about the noises that are occurring and wanting to get away from them. So, yes, unfortunately, those dogs can sometimes do things that are quite crazy and extravagant, breaking through fences, breaking in or out of the house to escape from the noise, and as a consequence, they're out on the street, their people are away, so the chances of them finding their way to the pound or shelter is very high. And I guess that's the best thing that can happen to them once they have escaped from the house. Unfortunately, you know, running around when you're worried about the noise of the fireworks can mean that you might come to some other mischief, and traffic accidents around this time are unfortunately something that does occur.
Yeah, they're much safer locked up in a pen, aren't they, at the home? Yeah,
that's
or a shelter.
True. I mean, yes, the Lost Dogs Home is aware that this is a really big day of the year. We have a huge number of staff on call and on location on that day. We have a team working through the night. On average, our pet ambulance would get a call about every 5 minutes, which is an amazing number of animals in need.
It's huge, yeah. I've worked on New Year's Day at the Lost Dogs Home, and it's amazing, the volume of people that come through looking for their pets and the stories that they tell as well. So, but a lot of pets actually, I guess, they come in over New Year's Eve. Are they reunited with their owners rather quickly or more so than at other times?
I think perhaps, I mean, we do get a huge influx of animals, so it's not uncommon to get more than 150 dogs arriving in 24 hours following New Year's Eve, and their people usually follow quite quickly afterwards. We find that probably about half of them would be claimed 24 hours later, a little over half, and usually the rest will follow. So as a general rule, I guess people will come looking for their dogs that go missing on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's great because usually they've been caught by surprise rather than not being, I guess, the best pet owner.
So
David,
if a pet does run away as a result of the fireworks on New Year's Eve, what should pet owners do to find their lost animal?
Yeah, well, certainly you need to start looking quickly. You need to be aware, I guess, that your dog may take a little bit of time to come through the system. If it's been picked up by a pet ambulance, it could be in transit between where it was found and the shelter or pound. So keep at it. Check with your local council. Check animal shelters in your area. The Lost Dogs Home obviously is a large animal shelter in the inner west north of Melbourne, but there are other shelters and their details are on our website. So check the shelters near you. Search the neighbourhood. There's nothing like an old-fashioned picture on a telephone pole yep. to help, you know, people in your local neighbourhood know that you've lost your pet and, you know, that pet might be hiding in their backyard after the fireworks.
Now, New Year's Eve is... go on, sorry, David.
No, I guess you can also check with local vet clinics and that's a place that people will often take lost pets and emergency centres, 24-hour vet facilities in your area.
That's true. Lots of good advice. Now, New Year's Eve is a couple of weeks away. Is there anything owners can do to give their pets the best possible chance of being returned home should they stray?
Yes, Kate. Yeah, preparation. Prior preparation prevents panic. And yeah. I think on New Year's Eve, it's definitely the case. So if you think about things early, if you know your dog has a noise phobia, if you've had trouble during thunderstorms or firework displays in the past, I would strongly recommend that you consult your veterinarian about ways that you can keep your pet safe and actually stop them from leaving your home. There are techniques like crate training, which can give the dog a really calm, safe environment to retire to when they're feeling Yep. anxious or stressed. There are a few treatments that work in some animals. There's one called a thunder jacket, which is a little coat that you Yes. put on your dog that gives them a nice tight cuddle and perhaps can relieve anxiety in some dogs. So they're all useful. The most important thing, Kate, is having your pet correctly identified if anything goes wrong. So there's nothing like an old-fashioned phone number on the tag. Make sure your chip details are up to date and you can contact the National Pet Register to do that. And make sure that your pet is registered with your local council should your pet decide to leave home on New Year's Eve.
That's fantastic, David. All lots of really good advice there. So we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on Pets Allowed today.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you, David.
Bye. So losing your pet after a thunderstorm or firework display can be a stressful experience for the whole family and your pet. Up next, we're going to give you some tips on what you can do when searching for a lost pet. You're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, throughout today's show, we have been talking about how you can help your pet during thunderstorms and fireworks. But even if you do all of the right things, sometimes they can still run away from home. And looking for a lost pet can be stressful for the whole family. So we've put together some tips on what to do if your pet does go missing.
So the first thing you could do is to check your local council or council pound. It's really important to visit your local council pound or animal welfare shelter as soon as possible. In Victoria, there is a mandatory minimum of 8 days holding period for stray dogs and cats. If your pet goes missing outside normal business hours and you can't get to the pound straight away, you can contact your local council on their after hours number, and generally you'll find that on their website. If your pet goes missing in metropolitan Melbourne or in a city, it's recommended that you visit neighbouring council pounds and shelters just in case they've wandered outside the boundary of your area or someone actually has driven and taken them outside your council area. When you visit, bring lots of documentation or the appropriate documentation just to prove that you're the owner, such as your council registration receipt, pedigree papers, vaccination certificates, photographs, things like that. And if your pet is microchipped or wearing an identification tag and your contact details are up to date, your local council or shelter generally will contact you pretty soon upon that pet entering the pound when they've found it. Therefore, it's really, really important that you keep your contact details up to date. That's the quickest way they'll return home to you.
Yep, and it's also important to check animal shelters, so by phone and or also to go and visit in person as well. So you can find a list of the shelters in Victoria at dogshome.com.
You can search your neighbourhood too, as David said, the old-fashioned flyer, letterbox drop with a picture, a thorough description of your pet, the name, date it was lost, where it was lost from, at least one contact number as well, and asking people perhaps if it's a cat to check their sheds under the house if they've had them open recently. But you want to include unique identifying features such as like if the cat or dog's got three legs, has a red collar, diamante collar, that sort of thing, so that people will recognise your pet pet if they've seen it. You can start with a reasonable area around your home where your pet may have been lost, or you can conduct a door knock area, door knock as well. Drop off notices to your local shops, notify your local neighbourhood watch group. You and your family should search sheds, garages, building reserves, parks, schoolyards, beaches. The list is endless where your pet could possibly be. If you're looking for a cat, inside ceilings also could be investigated, especially if they've been spooked. They may be hiding up there, up trees, under houses. And if you're looking for a male dog that isn't de-sex, inquire about other dogs in your area that possibly could be on heat. And if that's the case, perhaps get them de-sexed as soon as possible.
And you should also check vet clinics as well within about a 20-kilometre radius of from where your pet went missing. And you can just do a Yellow Pages search to find vets in that area.
You could could make contact with your local police station and give them a description of your pet, the name, the date it was lost and where it was lost from, at least one contact phone number again, just in case your pet's perhaps being stolen. And the other thing is, take your time, keep looking. Sometimes they're not there immediately, but they may come. People may hang on to them sometime before giving them up to a pound or shelter.
So now these are only some of the things you can do to help find a missing pet. For more info and tips, visit dogshome.com. Now, with the festive season fast approaching, there are lots of activities happening around Victoria this weekend. We're going to take a look at some of those in Dog Dates up next on Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
Now, Kate, would you like to tell us about the first dog date for the week?
So the first dog date is the Lost Dogs Home Christmas Appeal. Sadly, thousands of animals will be brought into the home over Christmas with nowhere else to go. So the Lost Dogs Home is currently running its very important annual Christmas fundraising appeal. A gift to the appeal will help dogs and cats through the summer and Christmas season and also all year round. It helps us provide essential services such as veterinary care, preparing an animal for adoption, behaviour rehabilitation. Your gift this Christmas will make a real difference. To find out more, to donate, hopefully, you can visit us at dogshome.com/donate.
Now, our second dog date is National Pet ID Month Chip Checker event, which is happening tomorrow in Maribyrnong. So it's taking place at the Yarraville Gardens in Yarraville from 9 till 12. So you can bring your pets down and have their microchip and ID details checked to make sure they are up to date. Very important, given what we've spoken about today before the fireworks and the storms really start to happen.
Our next dog date is Woolworths Christmas Pet Food Appeal. Christmas is just around the corner. And for nearly 30 years, Woolworths customers have been kindly including shelter dogs and cats on their Christmas list, filling their bowls with lots and lots of food. We are delighted to say that the appeal is back for 2015. It's one of our biggest annual food drives, or it is the biggest annual food drive for the year, with 60 Woolworths stores participating throughout the metropolitan area of Melbourne. To view a list of all the stores participating, go to the home's website at dogshome.com. Your donations of food will mean that we can direct more vital resources, including to other services, including our foster care program, our adoption program, our behaviour rehabilitation program. For more information, visit our website, as I said, dogshome.com.
Now, we have already come to an end of the show. That went very quickly, didn't it, Kate?
It did. My gosh.
So we hope that the tips that we gave about fireworks and thunderstorms were helpful to you. If you need more info, visit dogshome.com, or it's also a good idea to have a chat with your vet as well. Now, before we go, quick reminder, Pet of the Week is Precious, a gorgeous three-year-old cat who has been waiting for 197 days to find her forever home. She's up for adoption at our Compass Bay shelter, and you can learn more about her at dogshome.com. Her ID is 993147. And that's a wrap for the week. Don't forget to walk your dog
and pat your cats. Thanks, Kristen.
This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.